Tonight's edition of the Tech Beat rolls on. We're going to dial out for Chris Coleman momentarily and do the TechSideline.com sort of recruiting report, but a little bit of everything report. We will talk some recruiting with Chris. He's a former tech student, still young enough to pass for a student, as much as it pains me to say that. I hang around with kids who has joined Tech Sideline as a full writer and full-time writer, excuse me, and he and Will Stewart do a great, great job with that website, as well as Chris Horn, his contributions there in the Saber. I've said it many times on the show. I'll say it again. You know, there's a required reading list if you're a regular listener of the Tech Beat. It involves your daily newspaper, not just mine, but, you know, whatever area you live in. You need your daily newspaper. You need Hokie Sports of the newspaper. You need ACC Area Sports Journal. And you need to be a subscriber to TechSideline.com's TSL Pass. Because in addition to all the great recruiting updates you get from Chris Horn, you get all kinds of material. Now, you don't have to pay for Tech Sideline. They've got great free information. They've got a free message board, and that's all well and good, but you're shorting yourself big time if you're not a TSL Pass subscriber, because their pay content is well worth the money they charge. And before his head gets too big, let me welcome the non-birthday Chris Coleman, to the show. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem, Mike. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
And you got such a great, great policy over there that a guy has a birthday, you give him the daggone day off. Who does Horn think he is?
No, I don't know. He must think he's important or something.
He must think
he did a lot of work back in January when the Hokies were racking up 23 commitments. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You think he earned a day off then or something? But, yeah, anyway, 28 years old. He's older than you, a lot younger than me.
Yeah, got me by a few years.
Yeah, you'll get there quickly, young man, yeah. Hey, since this is the TechSideline.com recruiting report, let's touch base on recruiting first. I know Chris follows it day-to-day, the details, but you obviously keep up with it. First question I'm going to ask, I just want your impression. Some of this ground I've already covered with the other Chris, but Tyrod Taylor, the linchpin, obviously that was a big day. I was speaking to a group in Greenville when I got the text message that he had committed, and you know, I told that group then, I don't know what's going to happen from here on out, but this just became an excellent recruiting class. You agree or disagree?
I agree 100%. I don't know if I've told you this. I was actually at his press conference.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Horn was actually on vacation. It seems like whenever Horn goes out of town, Tech gets a major commitment.
Well, they ought to take up a contribution to send him out of town.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Anyway.
That's been the running joke on our message board. But, yeah, I got to meet Tyrod and everything. He's a really nice guy. His family is really nice. So, you know, I think he has a good, stable background and obviously a lot of talent. And if he's not a success at Virginia Tech, it's going to be nothing more than a fluke, because he has every tool that you need to be a successful quarterback in the ACC.
Well, you mentioned, you know, he's a very, very impressive young man as well. And a story I told is a conversation I had with Danny Pierman when he was an assistant coach there, about, you know, the redshirting process and how they watch film and analyze and meet. And he goes, but it's really pretty simple when you break it down. Who doesn't look or act like he's just out of high school? And this kid obviously has physically, he's gifted, but just the way he carried himself. You know, you meet a stranger and you're still a junior in high school. You know, most kids, this kid look you in the eye, firm handshake, and could carry on a conversation. He's mature beyond his years. At least that's the impression I got.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, Tyrod is probably more mature than a lot of the guys that are already on the team and already playing. You'll probably touch on that later.
But, I might even ask you about that after the break, but go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, Tyrod is, he's a high character kid. I got a chance to meet both of his parents also, and they're very nice. And you could see he was well brought up, and you're never going to have any trouble at Tyrod. He's going to be on time for every quarterback meeting. He's going to be a coachable kid for Mike O'Kane, I think. It's just a really good thing for Tech that Tyrod's entering the program. In fact, I saw Brian Randall that night when I went out on my own time and talked to him about Tyrod. And, you know, his words were, he's just good for the program. So.
And that's coming from a good source, because there's a kid who was the yes sir, no sir, great family background. I still converse with his father regularly, and you're right, that background generally leads to success. So that's good to hear. Hey, what do you mentioned, you know, Horn being gone and some in July and that just being a crazy month. What do you attribute? Was that just, that was like madness. I mean, Mike Farrell's telling me he's never seen any program, and it wasn't just Tech rolling up numbers. Awfully, I mean, Tyrod was the winch, but there's some great recruits in that crazy month. What happened?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those cases where the ball gets rolling and everybody wants to jump on board. You know, obviously Tech has, you know, they got a lot of new coaches this year, four new coaches, so that had some effect, I think. The offensive line recruits is what really impressed me. We had all those offensive linemen recruit recruits to commit about the same time. And it's not the quality of player we got from out of state is also amazing, especially if you look up in Indiana. You talk about Tech needing a backup running back right now. Well, they will have a backup running back next year, I can guarantee you, whether it's a guy on the team right now or Darren Evans, a four-star running back from the state of Indiana. He is just racking up huge numbers for the number one team in the state of Indiana. Did you happen to see the numbers against the number two team in the state of Indiana a few weeks ago?
I didn't see those specific numbers, but Chris Horn was saying, you know, we're still in September, and he was 980-some yards already?
No, I think he has more than that now.
Because he's played another game. But
yeah,
geez.
Against the number two team in the state, I think this was back in the second or third week in the season, he had something insane like 12 carries, 243 yards, and six touchdowns or something like that. You know, I mean, he is a big-time running back, and, you know, he's already got a college body at 6 foot, 210, 215 pounds, and he's going to come in ready to play, I think.
You know what impresses me, Chris, about the way Tech has been recruiting lately, last year and this year? They've established some new turf. You know, they've kind of given up on Florida, but taken advantage of the ACC and gained a little bit of a foothold in the Carolinas and Georgia, a lot of a foothold, actually. So they've staked out their region, yet they're still reaching. Last year... Region. Anyway, last year they reached out, got a couple of good kids from Ohio, not where they ordinarily go. This year, Indiana, not where they ordinarily go. You know, the California kid was really a Virginia kid. His dad is a former coach at T.C. Williams, so there's a little bit of a local connection there, so I don't want to throw that one in. But still, last year Ohio, this year Indiana, they managed to keep their pulse on the whole nation and occasionally go out there and grab. I mean, Trent Rosecrans last week was saying, you know, the schools out there were just devastated when they lost Aaron Brown, and now Indiana, Darren Evans is coming this way. It's impressive the way they've been able to do that.
Well, if you think about it, in fact, I wrote a news and notes update for Tech Sideline last week where I noted that Virginia Tech has been ranked in the top 10 in at least one poll for 1 week each season since 1998, and every season since 94 except for 1997. If you could follow all those years there. So, you know, every season except for one in the past 12 years, we've been ranked at one point in the top 10. You know, that's quite a reputation right there. And you can't look at Virginia Tech as a school that these kids have never heard of and don't view as a power program now, because they do. And, as that gets bigger, Tech's going to be able to expand the recruiting territories. And to be totally honest with you, the most amazing pull I've seen the Hokies get so far this year is not a 2007 recruit, it's a 2008 recruit. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina linebacker Bruce Taylor chose Virginia Tech a couple of weeks ago over Florida State and North Carolina. Now, this kid has a possibility to be a five-star linebacker in the class of 2008. He's just starting his junior year as a sophomore, had over 200 tackles, 42 tackles for loss, 8 sacks, you know, putting up numbers like that down in South Carolina. So it's really amazing that Tech is able to go out to other states and get kids that young to commit.
Well, that's one thing Chris Horn and I touched on last week, and you segued perfectly without even knowing. I wanted to ask you about that. I'm convinced that the success early gives them a leg up next year because, you know, this class, it's not quite complete, and there's some babysitting to do, but the bulk of the heavy lifting for 2007 is in, so it allows a little more time to focus on 2008. You're always thinking a year ahead. Coaches are always recruiting a year ahead. But now they can get some earlier than usual pitches in. They can hit a little harder. And I wouldn't be surprised if by signing day of 2007, they're up to 5 or 6 '08 recruits.
I agree 100%. And I have a feeling this is probably going to be a big weekend for underclassmen also, because like you said, Tech's already gotten most of their commitments for the 2007 recruiting class. You know, there are a few guys left on the board, but overall they're done and they're getting an early start on these younger guys. And, this is the first big game of the year. The first big Saturday game of the year. We won't play another big Saturday game as far as ACC game until we play Virginia, I believe.
At Miami.
I'm talking about as far
as
bringing in
my
recruits.
Recruiting.
Go ahead, Mike.
I said, duh, we're talking recruiting. I should have figured out that. Anyway, go ahead.
But, you'll probably see a lot of underclassmen, at the Georgia Tech game also. So, you know, it's a big game in more ways than one.
The other thing before we go to break, Chris, is that the topic we've been talking about, you know, last year the big thing was all the top players from out of state are flocking everywhere else. Tech had its lowest in-state total in the Beamer area, and everybody talked about that being an aberration. And this year, almost, I can't think. I think there's one kid in the top 10. I don't have the list in front of me. Most of the top recruits are committed. Most of them are in state. So clearly that was an aberration.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can't really put your finger on it. A lot of the guys were, you know, a lot of your top recruits last year were wide receivers. And you know, Tech's not exactly a passing offense. You know, I think, you know, with guys like Damon McDaniel and Percy Harvin, if Tech ran an offense like a Florida or a Florida State or a Miami, then Tech probably would have garnered more interest from those guys. But, you know, we don't. But, you know, like you said, it's just an aberration, and that's not going to happen very often. It's certainly not happening this year.
All right, well, Chris, if we can ask you to hold on a few minutes. When we come back on the other side, I want to talk to you a little bit more about this year's team. Yeah, a little booing, a little suspension, a little quarterback play. Get your thoughts, because I know you follow it pretty closely, and your opinions are backed with a lot of knowledge. So if you can hang with us, we'd be grateful.
Absolutely.
All right, Chris Coleman subbing for Chris Horn on the TechSideline.com recruiting report. We're going to veer off the recruiting path when we get back. Mike Harris and Matt Josephs with you here on ESPN Radio 950. You're listening to The Tech Beat.
WXGI, Richmond. The Washington Redskins play here. The new ESPN Radio 950. Game on, Richmond.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Stanshower. We only know one National League playoff team right now. That's the Mets. But who will they start game one? Pedro Martinez. He's only won four games over the last 5 months. And tonight in Atlanta, got lit up, lifted after 2 2/3. Now in the fifth inning, the Braves lead the Mets 7-1. Meanwhile, if the Cardinals blow the NL Central, they'll become infamous. 8.5-game lead, 12 games to go. It's now 1.5. And San Diego leading St. Louis right now, 1-0 in the third inning. A Mike Piazza RBI single in the first. Houston, who's won 7 straight, trailed 6-1 at Pittsburgh. They've cut it to 6-5. They're in the sixth inning. Cincinnati, who's 2.5 out, trails at Florida 5-2. That's in the sixth. The Phillies have rallied to take the lead at Washington 5-4. They're in the seventh inning. The Phillies a game behind the Dodgers for the wild card. L.A. in Colorado, no score in the third. Also, Milwaukee and the Cubs scoreless in the fourth. Arizona today beat the Giants 6-3. American League, Toronto leads Detroit 5-0, fifth inning, so maybe a chance for Minnesota to move into a tie in the Central. The Twins and Royals are 1-1 in the fourth. The Yankees pounding Baltimore. It's 13-2. Fourth inning, Jason Giambi back in the lineup. A homer, 4 RBIs. White Sox lead at Cleveland 2-1. That's eighth inning. Tampa Bay all over Boston 8-0. They're in the seventh. Just a day at the office for Terrell Owens. Rushed to the hospital last night, and then word it was a drug overdose, a suicide attempt. That led to a testing news conference for Coach Bill Parcells.
How many times can I answer the question? When I find out what the hell is going on, you will know. Until then, I'm not getting interrogated for no reason.
The afternoon, T.O. was out of the hospital working out with teammates, smiling and relaxed at his press conference where he denied there was ever a suicide attempt. And T.O., who, by the way, has a broken finger that was supposed to keep him out of the lineup for a month, is hoping to play Sunday. A lot of questions still unanswered as to what exactly happened last night, why the initial police report had Owens answering yes when asked if he was trying to harm himself. If and when the 911 call made by his publicist is released, that may clear some things up.
Sports Center, every 20 minutes, ESPN Radio.
We're here at the Skip Barber Racing School, where the only tire brand you'll find is BF Goodrich tires. BF Goodrich G-Force tires are the fastest street tires in sport compact history. The number one street tire for 2 years in a row. They're the world's hottest street tires.
BF Goodrich tires let you take control of any road you choose. Any road. Plus, you look good doing it. Visit BFGoodrichTires.com and take a look.
BF Goodrich tires, take control!
This Wednesday, it's Tom versus Katie. Tom versus a shark. Size 36 shorts versus size 28 waists. Giant mosquitoes versus everyone. Six people stranded on an island versus the elements versus sadistic challenges. Wednesday, friendship versus $1 million. Survivor Palau finale, starting at 7 p.m. on Versus. Three back-to-back episodes culminating with the reunion show, Survivor. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Versus. The competition is on. Check your local TV listings or go to Versus.tv.
Your attention, please. Now serving as the official candy bar of Major League Baseball, Baby Ruth from Nestle.
What do you mean now? Baby Ruth's been part of the game forever.
Yes, the peanuts, caramel, and nougat of Baby Ruth have long had a connection to baseball, but it's never been official till now.
Well, I've officially loved Baby Ruth for years.
Yeah, me too.
Baby Ruth from Nestle. Sink your teeth into the officially official candy bar of Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan Patrick here. On Coleman's home turf, they rock hard patch of earth called Lot F. The stadium parking lot where the true heroes of the game, the tailgaters, are bonded together by one idea. Play hard, grill hard. They know it's not the foam finger that makes you number one, it's the grill. The Coleman Road Trip Grill to be exact. 20,000 BTUs of powerful flame, push button start, yet lightweight and easy to take anywhere. Get your Coleman Road Trip Grill and make this piece of blacktop famous.
Reggie Miller, Dan Patrick, and a UCLA education.
From the top level. I'm talking about the mezzanine level.
No, what level was that?
The mezzanine level.
Okay. Phil, would you play that back?
I'll double check. I'll get it right now. Hold on.
This is how,
okay, here it
is. This is how it originally sounded.
I'm talking about the mezzanine level.
Y'all are doctoring with the tape.
You said the mezzanine.
The Dan Patrick Show. Weekday afternoons at 1. On the new ESPN Radio 950.
It's all about quality time. Fishing. A ball game. Firing up the grill. You need jeans that feel great, fit right, and stay comfortable. Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans. Built comfortable because all you want to do is relax. Built strong so they last and last. Built right because quality time deserves quality jeans. Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans. Stop by a retailer near you and try on a pair today. Wrangler. Real, comfortable jeans.
Psst. Hey, engineers. Looking for parts and products in a hurry? What do you need? A flange, pumps, microchips, what? I got a cousin in Jersey get you whatever you want. Gears, gizmos, gadgets, you name it.
Need parts and products? Search this. Thomasnet.com, the most complete industrial website for engineers. You'll find CAD drawings, specs, and suppliers selling the parts you need. We're the difference between needed and got it.
Hey, you trying to put me out of business?
Thomasnet.com, exactly what you need, precisely when you need it.
This is the Tech Beat with Mike Harris. The Tech Beat is brought to you by Chesterfield Auto Parts and Cravens and Knoll. Now live from the studios of the new ESPN Radio 950 in Richmond, here's Mike Harris with the Tech Beat.
Mike Harris and Matt Joseph with you the second hour of tonight's Tech Beat here on the new ESPN Radio 950. We will be with you till about 10 o'clock tonight. We are in the midst of the TechSideline.com recruiting report with Chris Coleman subbing for Chris Horn. We'll get back to Chris Coleman in just a couple of seconds. A couple of reminders that there will be no show next week with Tech being open and the baseball playoffs starting, and I've got some other things I've got to take care of with my multiple duties at this point in my career, that it's a good time for a break. We'll be back 2 weeks from tonight to preview the Boston College game, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Tech's got one of them Thursday deals, as Coach Beamer likes to say, up in Boston. That night, you can join your friends in Richmond, the Hokies at the Hangar football watching party at the Hanover County Airport Executive Hangar. Only 30 people, so hurry up. They're $25 in advance, $30 after October 1 for adults, $10 for youth 10 to 18, children under 10 free. Go to richmondhokies.org, and you can pay using PayPal, 804-257-0788, the 24-hour hotline. The proceeds go to the Richmond Chapter VTAA Scholarship Fund for incoming freshmen, richmondhokies@yahoo.com or 218-4848 for more information. Great event. You want to have a lot of fun watching the Hokies in BC. It ain't quite like being in Lane Stadium, but close. A really cool event, and I recommend it highly if you're here. My book, Game of My Life, Virginia Tech, memorable stories of Hokie football and basketball doing well. I appreciate all those who have bought it, all those I've had a chance to meet. I got a couple of UCROP signings coming up. Check the Times-Dispatch for more details. My good friends at UCROPs were kind enough to buy some books, too. And I know you don't think books when you go grocery shopping, but here's a chance to get some books, get some good food, and meet me. Two out of three ain't bad. Anyway, speaking of good folks, we got Chris Coleman been waiting patiently. And, Chris, I want to ask you real quick, and then I promise I'm going to get off this booing issue. I thought I was just going to write about it at once, and then Mr. Worsham called me, so I wrote about it again, and then I got 8 million emails, so I decided to talk about it a little while. Just real quick, what is your opinion on the booing issue? Do you boo or not boo at college sports?
I personally do not. You know, there are things I think that are acceptable. You know, I'm not going to boo a player's performance when somebody has a tough game. You know, back in 2001, Grant Null had as tough a game as anybody could possibly have, and I didn't boo him. You know, I think it's acceptable when you see someone not playing hard, they're on full scholarship. You know, obviously they should be given their all, you know, every play. Then, you know, that's acceptable. But I really don't think the crowd was booing any particular player or any particular coach. You know, they were booing the situation. You know, the Hokies were losing at halftime to Cincinnati, a team that's 1-2 from you know, the Big East, and obviously the very recently they were in a lower conference than that. So, you know, I think I'm going to quote Beamer on Monday night. You know, it's just a sign of the times, but it's just the way it is, and, you know, nobody's going to be able to change it.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I tend to agree with you. I've come down as very anti-booing, but listening to you and some others, I've changed. If the effort isn't there, if somebody's obviously dogging it, that's okay. But, you know, if they're making the effort, golly, I mean, again, particularly on the college level, and I know they're getting scholarships and they're, you know, they're famous and they sign autographs and they're public figures, but they're still college kids. But yeah,
as long as
they're giving the effort. Now, that said, something I said right before you joined me, that I'm kind of surprised, though, that the expectations are so high already, because everybody knew this offense was going to take some time. Anybody who expected this offense to look particularly sharp coming out of the gate was crazy. I mean, did you have high hopes for this offense early?
No, and they've actually done better than my expectations. You know, they've given up 5 sacks on the year. I thought it would be more than that at this point, despite the level of competition. I actually thought Duke would get back there and sack Glennon 2 or 3 times. You know, I would have said that before the season, because Duke is, you know, fairly solid up front. But until coming into the Cincinnati game, through 3 games, they had only given up 2 sacks, and then they gave up 3 against the most athletic front seven they've seen this year. But overall, I've been fairly pleased with the offensive line's pass blocking, and things have actually been a little better than I thought they would. Now, that said, they're not close to where they need to be, and obviously the offense is a work in progress. But, yeah, you know, anybody with high expectations of this offense coming into the year, they need their expectations to be adjusted, especially when you have a lot of fans, you know, who entered the season not thinking very much of Glennon, yet they think the offense is going to do well, or at least well enough where they would boo halftime of Cincinnati. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, new quarterback, 4 new full-time starters. I mean, you know, Brandon Fry had 1 career start. Danny Graff has never been a full-time starter. You know, 5 tight ends on the roster. None of them ever played a snap. You got to tone it down. Now, that said, I admit this is no disrespect to Ike Whitaker, who I think is a terrific prospect and going to be a terrific quarterback. But I've been a Glennon guy. I mean, I go to enough practices, I see enough. This guy is clearly the leader now. And my son disagreed, but after seeing a couple practices with me and then seeing a couple of games, he's come around and he still loves Ike. But I think this guy's making pretty good progress. And what I've liked about Sean is he's going to make some mistakes, and he's going to make some more. I'll be surprised if he makes the same one too often. He learns, he adjusts. I thought the dump off to Orr early in the game the other day, a lesser quarterback would have panicked and dumped it sooner. He was in trouble, but he took enough time to at least find a viable option before he got sacked or tossed it out. He's getting there.
I agree 100%, you know, and I think as much of Ike as the next guy, I think he's very talented. But, you know, Glennon is obviously the man right now. And actually that play you were just talking about to Orr, when Will and I were watching a little bit of tape on the game on Monday, I think I remarked to Will that was probably Glennon's most impressive play of the game, and it's a play an average quarterback would not make. You know, he's able to buy time outside the pocket with his feet. You know, he's not Marcus Vick or Randall or Michael, but, you know, he is athletic. He runs a 4.6 and a 40 and has, a 35-inch vertical jump.
Yeah, he's not a slug back there at all.
You know, and his upside is good. You know, I think he has good upside. His arm isn't bionic, but, you know, I can think of a lot of college quarterbacks who were very good whose arms were not great, Kenny Dorsey being one of them. As long as you have the offensive line to protect and receivers to get open, any quarterback with a brain can do the job, basically, and Glennon is obviously a smart guy. And I think a lot of Mike O'Kane is a quarterback's coach, too, and I think they're working well together, I think. So I think Glennon has a very good future at Tech, as long as he doesn't go out and have a game where he throws three or four picks, and the coaches start to lose confidence on him, and the fans start to call for Ike, and, you know, the snowball effect. You know what I'm getting at.
Exactly.
If Ike were to get his chance and actually played well, then I think that would be it. But, you know, I see no reason at all for that to happen at this point. I think Glennon has progressed pretty well, and he has nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, he leads the league in passing efficiency.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's granted, it's early, but, you know, there are a lot of guys that don't lead it in passing efficiency.
You're absolutely right. You go back to the 95 season, when the Hokies started 0-2, and you watch Jim Druckenmiller throw three interceptions in 16-0 loss, and you tell me he's going to be a first-round draft pick, I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah, and that ended up working out, and not the NFL career, but he certainly became a pretty good college player. Now, you mentioned you and Will watching the tape, and I really always look forward to Will's analysis because he takes the time to go over that thing, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I was in Blacksburg yesterday and driving today and working in the office, so I'm going to try to get to it tomorrow. Did you guys discuss in there the one thing that would throw a big flash of concern, particularly with you-know-who coming to Lane Stadium Saturday? Cincinnati had some open guys. I know there was one play where the kid dropped it, would have come back for a penalty anyway, but he was absolutely wide open. A couple inches, and I couldn't quite get a grip. You know, I'm thinking, did Brendan Hill miss that guy? Was that Macho? Was it DJ Parker? Did you all assess that at all? What went wrong?
I think some of that is DJ Parker. I think he's been a very good practice player. He hasn't quite shown it in games yet. And if you read our message boards, I get a sense that a lot of other fans are feeling the same way. You know, not to say DJ's not a good player, he is, but you know, there are some times where he's missed some coverages and been out of position. You know, it seems to us, the untrained eye, now you'd obviously have to ask Torian Gray to get confirmation, but then that's one of the things I wrote about in my preview today, is that Parker seemed a little bit out of position a few times against Cincinnati, and when you have a guy like Calvin Johnson coming in Lane Stadium, that's not a very good sign.
Yeah, you better know where every one of your assignments. I'm interested to see how they handle that, because the story I'm writing for Saturday, I'll give, you know, my listeners have to spend their 50 cents to get the whole deal, but a little sneak preview is the approach I'm going to take is, you know, they're players that come along, Michael Vick, Larry Fitzgerald, who are good enough to beat you all by themselves. Now, I asked one player about that, and he says, oh, come on, he's got to, I said, yeah, I know he has to help. He has to have somebody throw to him. What I mean by that is that you can do everything absolutely right, like happened many times against Michael Vick, and he still turns it into a touchdown. You can cover Calvin Johnson totally by the book, and he's going to go up and get the ball. The other side of that is if you make a mistake, you're really in trouble against him. You agree?
Absolutely. I personally think Calvin Johnson is the best college football player in the country. There is not one cornerback in college football today that can guard him one-on-one consistently. And I like Tech's cornerbacks quite a bit. I think Brandon Flowers might be the best cornerback in the ACC.
He's off to a great
start. There's no one
that
can handle him one-on-one on a consistent basis. If you're going to stop Calvin Johnson, you have to do it with your scheme. And to be honest with you, I have no idea what Bud Foster is going to do on Saturday. I think you'll probably see a lot of three deep zone coverages and shade the safety over and just try to force Reggie Ball into mistakes. That's what you have to do. But obviously with Calvin Johnson, no one man can shut him down. You have to try to do it with a scheme and just hope he or Reggie Ball has an off day.
Yeah, and Bud told me that. He says, you know, the guy's going to make some catches. You're never going to shut him down. The key is don't let him make the catches that kill you. He'll make his plays. Don't let him make the huge plays. And you're right. You know, if he has six catches for 90 yards but no touchdown and none of the no 50-yarder mixed in there, you know, maybe you're going to be all right. But he's definitely going to make some catches. He's a highlight film. Hey, the other end of that. You know, this Ellis Morgan thing, I go back and forth. I mean, it's never a good thing. I hate digging through the arrest records. They send out these releases that say, you know, due to violation of team rules, unspecified violation, and that's like telling the media to pick up the phone and call the police department. But it's going to happen. Every now and then it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen too often, you're actually doing a pretty good job. But given the image, you know, it's funny how Tech's image went from sportsmanship award to 04 to the sad finish of last year and some of the things that happened. It really didn't help Tech's image. And then to have this happen so early, it really bothers me. And I think as a fan, I would suspect fans are bothered too. This is a big game. You got to be above that.
You would definitely have to be above that. And, you know, I don't know the situation, that went down. You know, there's some reports saying that, that Morgan, or that some driver of a truck almost hit some people in a crowd outside. I don't know. But, I mean, you have to be smarter than that, when you're coming up in a game like this. And, you know, it's such a shame. And I've made this comment to Will before. The last three Tech teams, 04, 05, and this team, there are more good people in this program right now than there ever have been in the past. And you see guys like, you know, Marcus Vick stomping on Elvis Dumervil's leg in the Gator Bowl, Jimmy Williams getting ejected in the Gator Bowl, having some guys get suspended. That puts a black eye on the program and makes everybody look bad when that's not the case. And that's the thing that really bothers me more than anything. It doesn't bother me that much going into the Georgia Tech game without Chris Ellis and Josh Morgan, because I mean it hurts your chances to win the football game, but on the overall scheme of things, you know, I want people on the outside to feel good about Tech's program, and if stuff like this keeps happening, then they're not. I do want to give a compliment to Beamer for stepping up and suspending him. You know, he didn't give a comment like, well, you know, let's let the legal process play its way out. He just suspended him from the bat, and I think that was the right move, and it should send a message to the team.
Yeah, you would hope it would, because you're right. It's funny. 2 years ago, when Randall and Jim Davis were the face of this team, the image was so positive because you've got two great, positive, high-character kids. And I'm not saying Ellis and Morgan aren't. My point in this is, you know, last year Marcus Vick and Jimmy Williams were kind of the faces. I don't know if the good guy jerk quotient was really any different between the two teams. You said there are a whole lot of good kids. Dwayne Brown, we talked about earlier. I mean, a ton of good kids in this program. It's just when the most visible ones or these things keep happening, it just skews the image everywhere. And that's what I think is unfair to Tech. You know, Randall and Jim Davis, everybody thought, great, great group, when there were probably a couple of miscreants in that group too. You know, no more miscreants when Vic and Jimmy Williams are the face of the team. It's just, it's tough. And I know I asked him yesterday at the press conference. Frank is trying to redirect the talk back to Georgia Tech, but these kind of things become a distraction. The media asks about him because that's what we're going to do. People are interested in what happened. And I said, Frank, you really hate this, don't you? This really chaps you because of all that it leads to. A, you're missing two players. B, the negative image it casts, all that kind of stuff. I think he's very frustrated that these guys who have been in the program a while should have known better.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think when it comes down to it, I think Beamer's biggest problem is he's a really nice guy. You know, he's not mean. I think maybe if he was a little meaner, some of this stuff wouldn't happen. But, you know, when it comes down to it, Frank's a nice guy, you know.
And if that's the worst thing you can say about somebody.
I don't know if it'll ever change, but so much. But, you know, that's just the way it is.
All right, I'm going to let you go with one more. You've been gracious with your time, but I can't let you get off the hook because you guys are causing an uproar on your own website. And a lot of it's good natured. They're giving you some ribbon. But you and Will are both predicting Georgia Tech.
We are predicting Georgia Tech. I think Georgia Tech's strength on defense is their defensive tackles and middle linebacker. They play in the backfield all the time. And Tech's obvious weakness on offense is the middle of their offensive line. They got a couple of young guards, especially true freshman Sergio Render, who was not graded out well the last two games.
And yeah, something's going on
there.
That's
a really bad matchup for the Hokies. And I think Georgia Tech will win in a very close defensive game that'll probably come down to the fourth quarter.
I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm leaning toward Virginia Tech now because I'm just still not sold on Reggie Ball. But your argument for picking Georgia Tech is very strong, so I may fall on that side of the coin. But, that Sergio, you're right. Anyway.
It could go either way, man. Don't know.
yeah, but, I mean, you know, you have the stones to make that pick for valid reasons. That Sergio Rendo thing is a concern. I mean, he has not played well, and I'm curious when Marshman gets in totally better shape if they don't make that move, if that kid doesn't shape up.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, right now Marshman's playing tackle, and Gore, Render had to leave the game, the Cincinnati game, for one play, and they brought Gore.
They brought Gore in, yeah, I know. Yeah. But remember, Marshman and Priest, Marshman was a guy they could hope open with compete. And then he came in a little too heavy, and now he's moved to tackle. But now, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. What they really want is Render to get it together.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a talented player, and he's going to be a very good player. So physically strong for a true freshman, you know. He's going to be very good. It's just, you know, it's tough for a true freshman, especially on the offensive line, to come in and compete at a high level right away. So, you know, you're seeing some growing pains. But it'll get better at some point, whether it'll be this season or a spring practice. It'll get a lot better for Sergio.
All right, well, as always, Chris Coleman, we appreciate your time. And, you know, I'm not going to kick Chris Warren off too much, but when he has to take a break, we hope you'll consider joining us again because you bring a lot of good insight.
Absolutely. I always enjoy it.
All right, thanks. Chris Coleman, subbing for Chris Horn on the TechSideline.com recruiting report.